Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I'm bidding a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Friday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, Joel Elkanen, Dennis Dick here with you on this Friday morning. We're in a good mood this morning. We have earnings. We have a couple takeovers. I have a stock tip, which almost never happens. We're watching Jackson Hole as well, so we're in a good mood here. And then we're going to do, some trivia stuff with Joel maybe later in the show.
What happened? What just happened? Dennis is probably not going to be able to tell me, and my TV downstairs is not working. We just dropped. We're going absolutely crazy right now. Is there a leak or something? I don't even have my tweet deck up. Can someone help me out here? We just fell 13 handles. We got something major going right now. Bullard on CNBC, Mr. Map says he's moving.
Here we go. New tariffs. China says new tariffs are going to apply to about $75 billion worth of U.S. goods.
There you go. Retaliation. Okay, Spencer, we're just going to have a normal show today. Why don't you just go ahead with what you were doing?
Well, I was about to throw it to you to get what's happening.
All right. Sorry about that, folks.
No, go for it.
It was crazy. The S&P futures, we're trading up, and we just fell out of bed, folks. Pre-market high, 2936.75. Pre-market low, we just made it 2913. We got Jackson Hole coming up, but obviously the Chinese tariffs right at the 8 o'clock, right to ruin the start of our show here. Major action. You have crude tanking on that news, too, down 53 cents at 54.82. Gold not reacting too much here, basically flat on the session at 15.08.50. You have crude flat as well. Bitcoin not really reacting to this news here, down $45 at 10,140. That had to be.
The autos are getting hit. They're resuming the tariffs on the autos, so the autos are all getting hit. GM, Ford, they are among the ones getting punished here right now.
Okay, well, let's just get our wits about us here after that.
Oh, look at that GM. Look at that GM. Holy moly.
Let me pull up the GM chart. GM down 76 cents at 36.5. And let's see here. Let me see if I can defend my pre-market chart up here for GM. If you think it covering short, what's the low of the move here? We did have a low at 35.15. We haven't seen that yet, so keep an eye on that. Ford's is trading in the red too here. They've taken that under $9. Let's see. We got a low in Ford. The recent low of the move was at 8.78, so it's a dime away. S&P futures just hit 28.10 here, trying to recover. What else? Tesla. There's Tesla in this group here. Tesla down 247 at 219.58. Let's see what Fiat Chrysler is doing. Fiat Chrysler, not as heavily traded. That's down only 11 cents.
We were about to have like a normal, like a light show. I don't even know if Dennis will be able to talk right now. But
I was screaming at you. I was screaming, Spencer. And then I was like, okay, I got to do it.
That was so out of the blue. So the new tariffs here, let me just get a feel for things. I mentioned the $75 billion number. That's the amount of goods that they apply for, they are applied to. They'll go into effect September 1st and December 15th. The new tariffs are ranging from between 5 to 10%. So, gosh, I don't even know. I mean, I don't know.
You know, I was – just like one thing I was going to say about the S&Ps was, you know, we've kind of had a quiet week. We had that rally on Monday, right off Friday's low and Friday's close. And then, you know, we tried to break out to the other side yesterday early in the session, got me caught up in that. It hit 2940, a level we'd been talking about. And we were trading up. We had a wild close yesterday. A lot of sellers on the close yesterday. And then we have this news today. So I do not think Dennis – I hope Dennis can join us at 8:35 for our special segment here if things calm down. But as it goes, Spencer, me and you. So where do you want to start?
Well, I mean, I would just do what Dennis would do, and he would look at the TLT and he would look at the banks, and you see those big candles down at pretty much right when the show was starting.
Yeah, they were in the red, though. This is the interesting thing. The bonds, TLT / were deeper in the red. The financials were trading at the highs of their pre-market session, so everything was very copacetic for that news. The bonds did rally back off their low. We're looking at the 30-year bond here, the September bond, bottom at 162 in 30 seconds. Can you believe that they still trade the bonds in 30 seconds? And then you rallied back up to 163.30. So you got a bond rally. That ended up hurting the banks. Bank of America, as I mentioned, was trading up near yesterday's high, set to have a nice day. And now we are trading closer to yesterday's low. Let's use yesterday's low in the S&P 500 futures. That came in at 04.25. That was Thursday's low out of the blue. Current pre-market low, 05.75. So I'm not going to get in the real bearish camp until we do take out that low from yesterday. And also, I mean, who knows? I mean, we still got Jackson Hole today. We still have Powell coming out, potentially talking on the dovish side. So different factors. That was a quick hit. And I wonder if they timed it with the start of their pre-market show. What do you think?
I don't know, man. I don't think we've ever had news like that break at 8:00. That was very precipitous timing. Everything we thought we knew about the morning just went out the window, which is unfortunate because we had a lot of cool stuff that I want to talk about, and we can still talk about it.
Let's do it. We got to do it anyways. Yeah. The show must go on. I don't think that we are included in the tariffs, so I think we can continue as.
I would want to start with the earnings, and unfortunately, a lot of these earnings moves now are going to be colored by this headline, but we should still go there anyway because. That was the leading story of the morning, and we can probably still sort of parse through how this news is making its way through the market.
We're back. We're coming back on Unchanged, folks. I mean, come on. Give me a break here. 29.22, they're going to keep an eye on that level. That's unchanged on the session, so that's a good level for you. And your mid-range on the session after that quick dip is 21.25. So on the upside, I think the upside is going to be capped here until we get through 29.22. And 29.04.25 on the downside is what we're keeping.
I don't know what's going on with my charts, but they're not updating in real time. So
because they're crazy, because they don't know what they've never had markets moving this fast. I mean, it's been let's go with Foot Locker here.
Okay, looking at the FL numbers from about an hour and 20 minutes ago or so, Q2 EPS, they missed by a penny, 66 cents versus 67 cents. Sales, also a slight miss at $1.77 versus $1.82 billion. So misses on both. That was already going to be bad. And in a tape like this, though, weesh.
Yeah, you don't want to be doing this a tape like this. Dennis was talking in the pre-market show when everything was nice and normal. There was a huge buyer after hours and popped it up over $44. Tried to hit it a few times, but didn't hold it to the report. They don't like the report. Pre-market low, let's see what comes in here. 36 even is where the pre-market low stands in Foot Locker. And not really seeing anything on the dailies here. We are over a buck from it. I saw 36 even, potential support, and your pop off the rebound comes in at 39.20. So it's a wide range, folks, but that's what you're looking at. Foot Locker, S&Ps couldn't get back green on the session. Now rolling back towards the lows, the current low 29.05.75.
I'm just keeping GM and Ford on my screen, honestly, because this is wild here. So, yeah, and I just hear someone behind me. Whoa, what happened to the market? Yeah, that surprise tariff sort of happened to the market. So, all right, Foot Locker, we covered that. Let's cover – where should we go else on the earnings parade? Let's go to Ross Stores from yesterday. So ROST reported their earnings after the close yesterday. Their numbers, Q2 EPS, $1.14, that beat by 2 cents. Sales also a slight beat, $3.98 versus $3.96 billion. The Q3 EPS guidance was light. And what's ROST doing?
Big range so far in that first bar. They saw something they liked. They took it up to 110.85, and they saw something they didn't like. They took it down to 101.70, just hanging out. Now, this one, the pre-market chart, looks like we got some more work to do on the downside, folks. Currently trading at 102.25, kind of moving back towards that low of the – that would be the after-hours session there for Ross Stores. You have a low. Let's just keep an eye on $100. Not too far away from there. 100.16 was your low on August 5th. So there's a potential target. The last time, man, we haven't been under 100. Last time we were under 100, folks, maybe keep your eyes peeled for 98.50. I spot a pair of lows from just right around the 4th of July, 98.39 and 98.86 could be an easy target here. After that, I'm looking for 97.53. Here we are making a new low in Ross Stores, kind of doing the opposite of a Target here, trading near our all-time highs, but not liking the report, heading the other way.
This is crazy. Trying to recover from that.
This is crazy.
I'm trying to recover from that. I mean, you're sitting here, you're preparing a show.
Minding your own business.
Sitting out there and you're bop, 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 bop. And you're like, oh my, what just happened? Then you're trying to hit whatever the hell else you can hit to try to get hedged, because obviously this algo's hitting you, and then you're turning around trying to hit whoever they didn't hit, trying to get hedged up. I mean, it's a worst case scenario when, you know, news just comes flying out of the blue right there, right at 8 o'clock. So you just, you know, I'm not really fully looking at the markets. I was like, what just happened? We just fell 20 handles. So everything you have out there, this is why, you know, when you have sitting limits out there, it's a potential. If you're playing market maker, you know, you got the potential risk of something like this happening. And the news algos were all over you. So I'll be okay. I mean, it's, you know, you're just quickly trying to scramble to get cover. But I mean, everything is getting whacked here. And on that little rally, when we rallied back to even, that's when I was dumping everything. So that I just bought, because you can just see here, like, this is a complete reversal, obviously, from where we were this morning, what you were looking at, and then now you get China. And I actually, this thought crossed my mind that, okay, well, Trump keeps talking up the market, and he keeps talking it up, and, you know, if you're watching over there, and you're still in a full trade war, you know, if you want to really, like, stir the pot a bit through China, this is a thing to do. I mean, he can't control what they do. He can only control what he does. And he's playing tough guy all the time. I mean, what do you kind of expect? You're going to keep playing tough guy like this. Eventually, they're going to call you out on it. And that's what they just did. So trade war fully back on. This is not good for the market. I don't think we're going to bounce back here, at least not in the initial, because how does Trump talk this up? How can Trump talk this up? Here he is saying, oh, yeah, talks are going well. Well, obviously, that's BS, because talks aren't going very well. They wouldn't be slapping tariffs on. So everything that he's just been talking about when the market was down to try to talk the market up was not true, in my opinion. So you've been rallying here that we think we're going to get a trade war deal. The market thinks it anyways. And China just said, we're not close, or they wouldn't be doing this. So, you know, Trump can talk now and say, oh, yeah, we're close. But is the market even going to believe him now? Because China just said, we're not close. That's basically what they said by doing this. What do you think?
I think you're exactly right. I never thought they were close in the first place.
So. No, I don't think so either. I think he saw the market down, Trump, and he's got to talk it back up because he doesn't like the market being down. Oh, yeah, we're talking. We're going to get a deal. I mean, this says the exact opposite. This says we're not close to a deal. This says that we obviously, you know, are a long ways away from a deal. That's what China is saying, because this is China's response here to all the talks. And
this is not the first.
So he comes out tonight and he sees the market down, and let's say we fall 300-400 Dow points or whatever. I'm not saying we're gonna, but I'm not saying we can't. I mean, we just fell 20 handles in 20 seconds. We fall 400-500 Dow points. He could come out and try to talk the market up. Is the market even going to believe him? The game changer.
This is the first. This is the first new round of tariffs initiated by China, I believe, I do have a timeline here. Since September, they implemented their third round of tariffs in September.
My opinion, this is a game changer. So I'd be, if I was long, extra long right now, I'd be thinking about lightening up even into the fall here. So we had a little, about 5 minutes ago, we rallied back up to even, which was ridiculous. That's when I took everything that I bought. I took a chance to get myself hedged. So now you look here and you're, you know, down 15 handles. I know I hate selling in the hole on some stuff, but if you're over long here right now and you've obviously had a nice little run back, I mean, I feel like this is a game changer. Maybe they're going to shrug it off. They've been shrugging off a lot of stuff, but this isn't Trump. This isn't our side. This is their side. And it's telling me that the trade war is still fully on.
I agree with you. That's good analysis. I wish you would have told me that like yesterday. That would have been.
You don't know China's going to respond. But it crossed my mind a couple days ago that I was like, and you're trying to think what can bring this market down. I mean, you got Trump. You know, you always got to look both sides, right? So correct. You got Trump. You got, you know, the Fed defending the market as much as they possibly can. And you think, okay, well, what can derail this rally? And I was like, you know what? China could derail this rally if they do a response on their side. And here it is. So sometimes those little thoughts pop in your head for a reason. Anyways, is what it is. I see us down 12 handles here, and I think we could be down 40 today. So I'm not sure we fully digested this yet. Maybe it's not a big deal. I mean, the headline just broke. I haven't had full time to read everything. I'm just trying to.
I mean, I think it's a pretty big deal.
I think it's a big deal.
It's the first, right? We haven't had new tariffs in almost a year.
Yeah, I think it's a very big deal because I don't see how Trump comes out tonight and defends it. I don't see how he talks the market back up and says, oh, no, that was, you know, yeah, unless he's really, you know, going to, and this is his press to make a deal happen. Maybe they're going to get a deal.
He's going to say, well, I made a phone call today and things are really going much better. They decided.
That's what he just said. He just said that. He literally just said 2 days ago, the talks are going well. Or yesterday, he was saying talks are going well. Well, this is saying the exact opposite. This is not talks going well, or they wouldn't be slapping tariffs on you. So
yeah,
it's not just all lies. Or is it just misinterpretation? But either way, it's bad. Either he's misinterpreting how the negotiations are going, and if he's a negotiator, that's not good. Or he's lying to us, and that's not good either.
I try not to.
It's a worst case scenario, in my opinion, for the market. I'm shocked we're now down 40 handles on this. Especially after he's talked the market up on all these China. So maybe I'm just, you know, maybe I'm misreading it. Maybe we're just going to rally. The market seems to shrug everything off. So it's a hard market to use logic in. I've said that for a long time. But my logic says that this is not good. And my logic says if I was long stock, I'd be lightening up right now. If I was like overly long. Obviously, I still have long stuff in my portfolio. I'm hedged on my trading now, which I was massively long at 801 when I got hit on everything. So anyways, moving on.
How many bids did you get hit on? Were we able to cancel?
Oh, I canceled all immediately. Oh, if I went at the bathroom, you get hit on everything.
You would be bankrupt.
Well, you never put yourself that much exposure as a market maker. You know, you're playing market maker a little bit. You're never going to.
Yeah, right. Right.
So, but it'd been a really bad day, maybe even a bad week. If I had got up to take a 2 minute, you know, pee break right there, because I'm on it. I mean, I cancel. I don't even think about what I'm getting hit on. You don't worry. In that situation, you don't even worry about what you got hit on yet. You worry about getting the orders out of there. So you hit cancel all button. All my orders are out. Market making orders are gone. Out. I'm out. Now I can work with what I have. Okay. I've got hit on some Bank America. That's going to be bad. You know, you got hit on some other stuff. That's going to be bad. Let's see what we can do to minimize the damage as much as we can. That's how you got to play it.
Okay, well, I'm glad you came back and able to join us here. We talked.
I have a question. If you're Jerome Powell, now what do you say when you go up and speak at Jackson Hole here this morning? I mean, what do you say? Everything we thought.
You're going to say everything to what the market wants to hear. You're going to talk.
The market wants to hear there's no trade war.
That's a good point. They're going to talk really, really dovish. I mean, you're not going to come out and, you know, cite anything. You're going to try to talk the market up as much as you can. So maybe that does pop the market back. That's a good point. We got a lot of potential headlines coming here. But it's scary. Oil here really fell. Really, really fell on this. We got USO is trading down 3% right now. Like I said, I've hated oil for a long time. I still hate oil. The rally last week was a gift. But wow, USO is getting hit on this. This is
It's not good. World slowdown, right?
What's that?
World slow. You know, if there's economies are slowing down, U.S. economy slowing down, world economy.
The tariffs are on auto. You said what were the tariffs? So I haven't even had time to actually. I saw the headline, but I have not read the story because I got hit on all that headline. You know, the headline's bad. Can we dive into exactly what the tariffs are on?
Yeah, I
this right now.
You probably weren't able to hear me, but here. So it's 70. Here, let me get the headlines up here. Because I read them all as they were coming across my screen. So 5 to 10% tariffs on the goods in question, right? They're going to affect September 1st and December 15th. $75 billion worth of goods, U.S. autos and auto suppliers were the two things called out.
U.S. autos and U.S. auto suppliers. Okay, so autos are getting hit. Maybe that's why they decided to slam oil here on this, because oil was flat when this headline broke. It is now down. USO is down 3%. This is a big hit for the oil. Oil has been in the gutter. You're going right back down. You're obviously not at the very lows.
The chart here.
But some of these oil stocks are going to make new lows because they're just crap. You know, like you think about Halliburton, 1829 bid here now. And, it's hard on stocks. They're just finding ways to go down.
Quick level for you folks here in the crude oil market. On August 12th, we made a low at 53.49. The current low is 53.68. And the next daily low after that is 52.32. So haven't hit that that August 12th low yet, 53.49. Current low stands at 53.68. These are short-term daily numbers there if you're looking at the crude oil futures.
So oil stocks themselves obviously getting hit when oil's down that much. Chevron's down 1.1%. I'm short Chevron, full disclosure. Exxon's down 1.1%. I'm short Exxon, full disclosure. These are just day trades, so I intend to get out of those. ConocoPhillips down 1.8%. There's a bunch of oil stocks getting hit. Like if I go and look at the carnage here, and that's what you could call this actually, just after this announcement here, everything's red. I mean, you got stocks. Obviously, we got the earnings stocks that are getting hit, like Hewlett Packard stand out. But,
HPQ was last night, right?
Yeah, and we haven't got to Salesforce. Salesforce is obviously still trading higher. It's not going to give it all back on this. But there's a lot of headlines here, just a ton of headlines to think about. And a ton of things. Yeah, there's just a ton.
Okay.
We should go back to the earnings. I know you guys talked Foot Locker briefly. I don't know what that guy or girl was doing last night when they're paying up $2 for the stock, but it was trading size. Like you could have shorted that all day long as much as you wanted over 44. And I thought about taking it home short because they're giving me a 2-point lead. And I was like, they're just so aggressive that what if they know something? So that's why I did not take a position. And they obviously knew nothing because the stock's down 5 points. So down over 7.5 points from where it was trading last night. Crazy people buying that thing up that much after hours. And then you got other stocks going the other way, but Salesforce.com was a big one. Let's go to it.
All right. CRM yesterday after the close, Q2 EPS, 66 cents versus a 47 cent estimate. Sales, $4 billion versus a $3.95 billion estimate. So they beat on both of the Q2 numbers, and they raised their full year sales guidance from a range of 16.1 to 16.25 billion. Now it is $16.9 billion. That's their full year sales. The Q3 EPS guidance was also higher, as was the Q3 sales guidance.
And the stock lifted big time on this. Not a lot of chop, kind of just lifted and kept lifting, and that was it. It never really gave it back. So they liked this right from the get-go, and they never found a reason to sell it off. Up $8 here. Obviously, the only reason to sell this off where it sold it off a little bit from the highs is just simply the tariffs where the whole market got hit. But without being the market, I would have said, look at all those highs, 161. I don't know if that comes into play now because the market's come obviously taking it down from where it was trading, 158, 159. So
159.24. That stands as your pre-market high. And I see what you're talking about. I see those highs here. Yeah. at 161. Maybe that comes into play. First things first, you got to take out the pre-market high. To me, it looks like you have just a patient seller in here. You know, they tried to, you know, hit them in the 159 handle. Now they've stepped down to in the 156 area. So it doesn't look like an aggressive seller out there, but it looks like someone, you know, is trying to unload stock, and that is a big move. We'll keep an eye on that pre-market high, 159.24. Spoo's coming on the low here. That 0475 is going to go bye-bye.
I think we're going to be down 500 points today on this. So I don't know where we are, Dow equivalent down 159. I wouldn't be buying it here. No, maybe Jackson Hole changes things. Maybe they get so dovish that they rally it. They usually
there it is. Yesterday's low. Right, we are trading on Thursday. Right here, boom, right now. Quick 2-point bottom. Yeah, terrible tape here. Let's go to – we got some new stocks. We also have a Spencer pick of the day or pick of the week. But let's go – we do HPQ yet?
I was about to go there. HPQ had their report yesterday, so let's talk about that. Q3 EPS, 58 cents versus 55 cents. Sales, 14.6 versus $14.62 billion. So a slight sales miss and a slight EPS beat. So mixed quarter for HPQ. Their Q4 adjusted EPS guidance was in line. Their full-year EPS guidance was actually higher than estimates. And what's the story here? Oh, boy.
Oil. I keep going back to this stuff. It's hard to go to HPQ. I know it's
10%. Oil, I just saw come through. What did I see? 10% tariffs starting September 1st.
What is that?
China says crude oil is among the U.S. products subject to 10% tariffs.
So that's another reason why. I'm just looking at oil. I'm just getting
hammered. Getting hammered.
Hammered. So HPQ is taking out all support here. I mean...
Sell everything. What do you?
Wow. We've been buying everything all the way up. But let's just stop and go macro again, because we have the HPQ story, which is terrible, and you know, I think it's going to go to $15. But you know, it's been a stock that's really struggled here for a while. But you know, they got the 3D printing, which makes me think, you know, I would buy it at some point in time. I did try it once long for a while in a swing trade, but I got out of it. But you just look back at this macro, and you're like, we've been buying this up, because Trump's talked 3-4 days of, like, how good is going the talks with China. I see him interview on CNBC. I'm just reiterating the point.
Sure.
Because I'm digesting it all in my head. You know, I was only 27 minutes ago. See, I just can't believe, like, you've been talking how good it's going. And now this happens. So, obviously, something fell apart in the negotiations that they're willing to do this.
Or
it wasn't true in the first place.
Right.
That's both bad. I can't find I'm trying to find the silver lining here. I can't find it. That's why I think we continue to leak. I think you have money managers getting their desk and they're like, what the hell? You know, I'm long. You know, you got hedge fund managers, you got people, everybody talking up the market on CNBC. Oh yeah, we're going to highs. You know, felt like it kind of felt like we were like just shrugging everything off. Setting up the technicals didn't even look bad. A little W pattern getting going. I mean, maybe the Fed.
I don't know that
Jackson Hole. But if you're putting all your money on hoping that Powell's going to bail you out here, crazy. A lot of things changed with one headline. Headline driven market.
Did she tweet that out, or did he use a more traditional mode of information?
Oh, he wouldn't have used Twitter. He would have used Weibo.
Who you're talking the Chinese? Where did the headline come from?
I'm talking about Xi. I saw it first on Bloomberg. But he wouldn't have used Twitter. He would have used Weibo or Sina. So if he did, maybe buy that today. I don't know what to tell you. But
gold's turning around on this. Gold futures are up now.
Yeah, surprising. You're not really seeing much. Like, I mean, I think it's a slow. I think we, you know, they're still the money managers aren't at the desk yet. You know, a lot of these guys don't get until 9 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock. So you're not really seeing the big money come in here yet. What happens at 9:30 when we open? Do they all hit the panic button, or they hit the buy the dip button?
Well, isn't everybody out at the Hamptons because it's August?
Well, that's another good call there too. I mean, you're having this happen in what's typically a very slow week for the market because everybody's on holidays before Labor Day. This is when they take their days off. So it's a lot of... There's a lot of wild cards. Let's just say that. There's a lot of wild cards happening here.
Look at the FXI here and any other Chinese name, Baba, Baidu, you name it. All got cracked.
Cracked, killed on that. You have to. I mean, it's full trade war again. So Baba, yeah, down 1.87%. Baidu, which when you're a dog, you're a dog, right? That stock was 114. Or where did it get up to 115 on the earnings? Here we are 3 days later giving it all back. We're 103 now. I mean, why does it not just go back down to the lows of 93? When you're a dog, you're a dog, right? Out of favor, just stays out of favor. If you're one thing, if you're looking at stocks like to buy on dips, go with the stocks that have been strong. Go with the winners. Go with the ones that, you know, have held up. Go with those tech stocks. I mean, that's the ones that have held up. But I don't think I'm coming in here because I think this dip could be just getting started again. Like, I mean, how many times have we been up here? Even from a technical basis, it's 293, 294 on SPY and failed. One, two, three, four.
Oh, that was beautiful. A beautiful setup. Times.
So yeah. Now if you take out 290, now you think, well, we could go back down to the 283 level again on SPY, which is 70 points lower than here. So I think rallies to be sold. Just like we had that little rally at 805, good opportunity to get the hell
out. That was quick. I know. I
would just be out there. But, you know, you just throw it out there. And you're like, okay, get done.
I was hoping for unchanged on that one because it was mid-range on the session. And then it was also, the close and just the way the market ended up yesterday. And I've talked about the way that I do my levels and stuff. Well, we ended up exactly in the middle of the range. 29.22 was your close. It was also your daily pivot. So you can swing through your pivot a lot of times. But then, you know, with that breakdown, they also came in mid-range on the session. And sometimes you get rolled over using the close, but having mid-range there. So that'd be an area on the upside. We did pierce the low from Thursday, but not a full panic yet. We went to 0.25, now trying to rebound, but not getting much of a bounce. After that, folks, we'll be looking for the lower 28.90 handle. Last Friday's close, 91.50. Monday's low, 92.50. So got a few other lows in that area to keep an eye on. But
let's say hypothetically we rally at the open, okay? Let's just pretend that happens.
We get some of the losses back.
Right. We get some losses back. Is that almost more concerning?
Happen. You just have people coming in. What you see happen, this is why the market moves like, you know, up and then comes back in, you know, and moves down. It's like waves. It's why it moves in waves, because you have people come in like, okay, you know, the train's going down right now. Oh, we got a few buyers, and then the algos get on board and they buy it up a little bit. But the overall, you know, you got to figure out what the overall trend is for the day. So, you know, this is a bad headline. I don't see the headline changing here today. I think we got a lot of money managers that are probably long here thinking, well, Trump's been talking about a deal. We're going to get a deal here eventually, and we're really going to pop on that. Anybody who's positioned for that is reallocating capital in a hurry here this morning. So I think if you do get a rally, which you're going to have these little, you know, maybe we rip back up 10 handles. I think it's an opportunity to get the hell out.
Well, so far, Joel's level, yesterday's low, that's holding. So
yep. That's fine. But again, how many people are trading at 8:30 in the morning on August 23rd? Me. There's not a lot. That are sitting at their desk. Probably half the money managers aren't even at their desk yet. You know, they're getting there in a hurry once they heard this, you know, come across. If they're listening to CNBC and they're on the subway train, they're like, you know, trying to speed up to get there as fast as they can. But damage has occurred. I mean, this did not happen in the middle of the day. This did not happen at, you know, 4 o'clock at night and people are still at their desk. This happened at 8 o'clock in the morning. That is a time where there's just not that many people at their desk yet. Wall Street, a lot of money managers maybe getting there at 9. A lot of them don't get there until 9. And that's an issue, major issue.
Yeah, like when you roll in.
People come into the market here yet and read this headline and say, O-S-H-I blank.
Roberto Wilco is saying, always good to have Dennis and Joel on when we have volatility. So thank you very much. We love volatility.
And I could be wrong. Maybe Jackson Hole bails us out. I mean, this has been a very hard market to call day to day, but I don't think this is a dip to buy. That's my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think this is the dip to buy. I think the dip gets bigger.
I think the lesson here is if you have to step away from your desk, just cancel all your orders.
Well, yeah, there's a good point to that too. I was at my desk.
Yeah.
You're
at your desk.
The algos are fast. So you're at your desk and you're like, okay, I sure hope that cancel all orders button works. Oh, thank goodness it did.
Okay, we're going to do – let's do overstock.
It's not like I'm at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's not happening. If that happens at like 4:30 at night, I could really get hit. I mean, I'm – you know, at 8 o'clock in the morning, I don't have that much out there yet. I'm preparing for the show. I don't like trading during the show. So probably perfect time for me to actually happen because I didn't have much to get hit on. I'm trying to work out of some trades maybe, but I'm not working too much because I know I'm going on the radio show. I don't trade much during 8 to 9 because I'm doing the show. So I'm prepped not to have a lot going on because once I get really busy, then I have to leave the show or I can't follow my train of thought. So that's why I try not to trade much during the show. I still get the odd trade, but I'm not like fully active like during the show. So it's probably a good time that I'm much out there.
Okay. Spencer, I mean, I had a special segment lined up for today.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to get to that.
You can do it if you want.
Well, we had other things on our list to discuss. I know Joe wanted to discuss overstock. So let's do
a few.
What do you want to do? Do you want to do the special segment? Do you want to do it, Joel, still?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Well, let's have some fun. Because you know what? Not a lot of people who are long in the market are having fun today here. Can we have some fun? Is this fun? Is it going to be fun?
Oh, it's going to be a blast. It's going to be a blast. Okay.
Okay, let's have some fun. I need some fun.
Okay, Spencer, you got to give me controls here.
All right.
Joel's taking control.
Joel's going to take the wheel. All right, Joel.
We're already having fun. Here come the gremlins.
Joel, go ahead and take the wheel.
Okay. All right. Here.
Let's see how this goes. I'm holding my breath.
Okay. Hold on. Let me get a chart up here because I don't know how to get our pretty faces on here. But just let me go. Let me format this here a little bit for you. I should have been better prepared. But...
Wait, while you're doing that, can I give my stock tip of the quarter?
Sure, go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
This is based on almost no due diligence. Almost. But my tip for the quarter is QSR. Okay? Three words that are going to change your life today. Spicy chicken.
I heard about it.
Okay. Yesterday, I went to Popeyes. I've heard about this sandwich. I'm hearing it's the best sandwich ever invented in the history of sandwiches. I went to Popeyes yesterday. The line was out the door. Out the door. And the drive-thru line, almost back up to the road, to the highway, right? The line was out the door. They were out of chicken sandwiches, okay? They didn't even have it.
It's that hot.
It is the hottest thing in the history of sandwiches. It has to juice their numbers this quarter. Okay. They own Tim Hortons. They own Burger King.
Yeah. QSR is a lot. Right, it was fun when you could just trade Popeyes direct.
They own Popeyes. Okay. I'm telling you, Popeyes numbers are going to be juiced.
Sandwich. You're liking Popeyes.
You heard it. I couldn't even get it.
On the dip today, you're looking to buy QSR.
Oh yeah. I'm buying it for earnings next quarter.
Like, I heard them talking about that on sports.
Is it made with Beyond Meat?
No, it's not. But Burger King also has the Impossible Whopper, so that's two hot burgers in under QSR's umbrella. So that's my tip of the quarter. QSR, you heard it here first, folks.
Okay, all right.
I was in line at Popeyes. I was like, do I buy QSR right now? Do I wait? I was like, I had my app up. All right, but I didn't buy it yet. But good thing I did.
Okay, hold on. Okay, I think I'm ready. Are you guys ready for the introduction?
Yeah, we're ready.
Hot potato, hot potato. 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 Potato, potato. Potato, potato, potato.
Cool. Okay.
All right, get the royalties check to the hot potato song right now.
It's the Wiggles.
Yep, let's go.
The Wiggles.
Okay. Okay, so here's what's at stake today, okay? Spencer, it's Spencer versus Dennis, okay? If Spencer wins, he keeps his job.
Why is our jobs always on the line?
I don't know. I just
want to fire somebody. You got a little Trump in you. You're fired. He just wants to fire us.
Okay.
Why do you want to fire everyone?
There's three categories, okay? And they're easy. Easy peasy. And I'm giving – and Spencer –
because of last week.
Yeah, Spencer's going to have the edge, okay, in the categories. Now, let me explain the rules. We're going to start with Spencer. He's going to give an answer. And then you're either going to hear correct or incorrect. Dennis, then you have 3 seconds to answer, okay?
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Or however long it takes me to check it off. Okay. There's three categories. Okay.
They're going to be really hard, aren't they?
No, they're going to be super easy. And you guys could play at home if you want. Okay. The first category. Okay. Are you ready? Spencer, you're going to start.
Ready. I'm assuming I can't use
the internet. Get the category before?
No, you cannot use the internet. I'm not going to tell you all three categories either. You guys don't. Spencer, I don't want you looking at the internet.
I won't use the Google. Okay.
Want you to use anything.
All right.
Okay. I just want you to use your own mind. Okay. Go. Spencer, are you ready?
Yes.
The first topic, there's 40 correct answers. Okay. Female guests that have been on pre-market prop.
My gosh.
Spencer?
Name one?
Yeah.
There's only 40? Anne Marie Band.
I was going with Anne Marie. That was mine.
They got me more.
This is hard. I can't just think of stuff like this.
Come on, guys. I can't
just think of people off my.
I should have given a more obscure one so Dennis would have gotten the
answer. Yeah, I know. Now I'm done. I'm losing my job for sure. I can't even think of a second one.
Okay, come on. Anne Marie Band. She was first one. Dennis, go. I'm not going to let you talk.
Take the pressure.
Dennis, one more.
Yvonne.
There we go.
Spencer.
Back to me?
Yes.
Let's go with Lydia Item Finkley. She's one of our 4X people.
Correct. Dennis.
This is not fair. I don't. She'll do the guest list. I don't.
You don't even have the guest list.
Dennis, you can't name one more.
This was Dennis, you can't name one more.
Oh, man. Okay, next category.
One more, Dennis? Okay. Man, that was weak. 40. Listen to this. Tracy Reiniak, Mish Schneider, Sarah Potter, Hillary Kramer, Robin DeShays, Kathy Donnelly, Samantha LeDuc. You have Michelle Krebs, Jen McNary, Jill Maladrino. You have Rachel Shasha, Angie Sensor, Kate Long, Kiana Danielle, Rocky
Horner. I got the important.
You don't have to read them all.
I got Yvonne.
Rachel Fox. That was horrible.
I should have thought of Rachel because she was our first ever celebrity on the show.
Okay. All right. Okay, that one goes to Spencer. Okay, Dennis, you're going to start this next category.
I probably won't even get one right. You know what? I'm one of those people
you're chickening that watch out.
Jeopardy and don't even get one question right the whole time. Like, I can't get one. There's people that get all of them. I don't get any. I get zero. I'm horrible at general trivia, and I have a goldfish memory.
This is not general trivia. Just be quiet and start thinking for a second, okay? All right. Wall Street analysts that have been on the show.
Michael Pachter.
Spencer.
Oh, gosh. Pachter. Does Ian Weiner count? He used to be an analyst.
Dennis.
Gordon Johnson.
Oh. Victor Anthony from wherever he's from.
Dennis.
Ivan Feinseth.
Spencer.
That's what I was going to say. No, God. I had Ivan on my mind.
1001.
Gene Munster. He used to be an analyst. That counts.
Spencer.
That was too late. It was still over 3 seconds.
Dennis, for the win.
I thought I had it with Ivan. I wasn't prepared on it.
I thought you did too.
Oh, man. I'm done again. I can't even think of one.
Michael Olson.
Oh, no, Spencer, you did too. It was Dennis's turn.
Right. I just prepped the guest list. This is so unfair. I have nothing to do with the guest list. Both of these questions were with the guest list.
Would you stop complaining? Okay. This was all right.
So there are these categories.
I am. Okay.
He wants to fire me.
This is for all right. Spencer for the win and Dennis for the win too. Listen, quit interrupting. Okay. All right. Back on December 18th, 2019, okay?
Oh, boy. I know where this is going.
Benzinga did a Bitcoin special, okay?
You got the year wrong.
17. Okay, 17. Mr. Smarty Pants. Oh. Okay. In 2017, we had 6 guests on the show.
Oh, my goodness.
Starting with you, Dennis, name one of those 6 guests.
Jim Angel.
Oh, my God. Joe Saluzzi, was he on it?
Dennis.
I don't even know if I can remember anyone else from this special. It's 2 years ago.
Dennis.
Did we have Mark Yusko on? We had him on talking Bitcoin.
That's a good guess. That's a
good one, because he's been on talking Bitcoin lots on our show.
I don't know.
We didn't have him back then.
Okay, I know. I remember one more, but that's the last one I can get.
So hard.
The guy from GBTC, Michael Sonnenschein, the guy from Grayscale.
Yeah. And you also got, you guys forgot Michael Grubb, Jeff Goldman. And
oh, Jeff, we should have remembered.
And I'm sure you're not going to be getting a Christmas card from Peter Schiff.
Okay? Oh, man, I forgot.
We have intentionally forgotten Peter Schiff.
Okay.
No, we love you, Peter.
Okay. And just for informational purposes only, the closing price, the tiebreaker, was going to be the closing price of the Bitcoin futures on that day.
Oh, 19,000.
What do you say, Spencer?
17,500.
It was $19,560.
I'm all over the price.
Yeah.
I stunk at the guests, but I was all over the price.
Oh, man.
I'm a numbers guy.
All right. Spencer wins.
Give me numbers next time.
Can I take the – all right.
Spencer, you killed me.
You can take the controls back.
All right. Next time we should actually do like I feel like I could do decent against Dennis in like in stocks. I don't know. Maybe not pricing, but
everything.
All right. We'll do it. We'll do it now. I'll come up with something new next week.
If you gave me like ET, like, you know,
we need to put Joel under the gun. That's what we need to do.
Yeah. If you gave me like ETF,
it's my segment. You guys can't.
My segment.
I made it up.
Yeah, dude, it's my segment.
All right. Yeah. That was fun.
Can
I bring it back to?
Did you already take the controls back? Because I wanted to play the Wiggles song again.
I even had
an intro. I got that right. Okay, back to the markets. Why we're all here? Go ahead.
All right, overstock.
Let's go balances and look there quickly.
Okay, then overstock.
And then overstock. So Wells Fargo 106,000 sell. Full disclosure, I do have a short position on in Wells Fargo. I have a lot of positions on again, so some of these are just coincidental. Pfizer 79,000 to buy, which is always interesting when you see a buy imbalance on a day that you're down like this. Again, that's more defensive. Coca-Cola 50,000 to buy. So maybe this market's starting to look already. Oh, what can we potentially buy here today defensively there? CRM 42,000 to buy, obviously off their earnings, going to grow. Home Depot 45,000 to sell. HD actually is HD and Lowe's. Lowe's is leaking a little bit there last couple days, which is interesting. You wonder if Home Depot doesn't start doing the same. Nah, that's pretty much it. Let's go to overstock.
All right, this headline makes me sad from just a news watcher standpoint. But Patrick Byrne, one of the more entertaining CEOs out there, has resigned his post as the CEO of Overstock following a rather bizarre statement last week in which he said he was unwittingly a part of a couple of government or political espionage campaigns, that he thought he was doing work for on behalf of the government. In reality, he was doing work on behalf of I don't know whom, maybe some Russians, but he said he had done some investigating on several presidential candidates and just talking about the conspiracy involving them. And that was bizarre. That was last week. To yesterday, he announced just due to his contacts with the government, he's not in a position to be the CEO of a public company. So he's out of Overstock.
Market applauded this because the stock was halted on this news, I believe, yesterday during the day, came out of the halt and proceeded to gap up $2. Then leaking. So these little, you know, short-term moves, short-lived. Stock's down here again, so it's getting most of it back.
I'm still waiting for them to come out with to trade stocks, Bitcoin-wise, right?
No. It's the T0, that's what you're talking about. That's out. That launched. It's a Bitcoin exchange.
Okay. Well, let's see. Overstock here. You had to pop up. We're not going to see that again. Yeah, you got to pop up to 22.92, and then you've fallen back, and you're just. It's a slow leak. Nothing. Not a free for all. 20.43 has been your low of the pre market session. We're giving back some of these gains. I don't see anything. Double bottom at 18.10 area. That's what I'd be looking for. If you're looking for more on the downside and overstock.
We're going to figure out this echo thing because
it's
weird. Don't you don't have an echo, and then all of a sudden you have an echo, and then you don't, and then you do. Something's open in the background. Something's picking it up. Spencer thinks he can figure it out, so we're going to get Spencer on that here, and he'll get that echo figured out. So we apologize for that.
Sorry about
once
that.
Again here.
We haven't discussed any of the M&A deals, but we should. So.
Yeah, I want to just discuss this all together. This is a really good story, actually. So breakdown, we'll do them both together. all three, I guess, because there's three companies
getting. Oh, okay. Well, VMware announced yesterday, after their, or along with their earnings report, that they were acquiring Pivotal Software for $15 a share in cash. That's the total price being paid, but it is a mixed deal. So they're buying them for $11.71 in or per share, and then plus the stock ratio, which I had in front of me, and now I seem to have lost. I believe it was 0.055 was the ratio for stock. So 11.71 in cash plus the 0.055 in stock for Pivotal. On top of that, VMware is acquiring Carbon Black, CBLK, for $26 a share in cash. So two acquisitions there from VMware.
Let's just stay with it. We're not going to do them all at the same time because there's too much to talk about.
I'm just saying Carbon Black is straightforward. Pivotal is not.
Yeah, Pivotal was not. It was a confusing headline, and those news algos were crazy on this. This thing tanked on this. They read the price as being 11, whatever it was. So what was the headline? Give me the headline again.
It's 11.71 per share in cash.
And then there was a stock component. But they read it that it was 11.71, the deal price. And the news algo slammed this thing down. We already knew this. Deal was on the table. Look at what it did. It went all the way down into the 11 handle on the initial release of that headline. Those news algos just burned cash. I brought it up. I was like, are you kidding? I saw it and I was like, I'm like, $11. I'm like, what's going on? By the time I brought it up, literally 3 seconds later, it was already back in the 14 handle. So you had to have an order out there. If you did, and you know, I don't even know if it went on all exchanges or not, but it definitely traded down there. I saw the trades hit the tape down there. I'd have to go back and look at the tail of the tape. I could, you know, look at my time and quotes if you remind me, and I could look today and look at actually how many shares traded down there. But the news algos hit that down, and they read it wrong. Obviously, the algo read 11.70. That's why those news algos is some people running some bad ones there. That was mixed. That was only the cash portion. They didn't consider the stock portion. So whoever sold that just threw away, you know, a good 20% of their money.
0.055 again was that ratio.
Yeah, they didn't consider that part. Their news algo didn't read that part. Oops. Man, these news algos, they stink sometimes. So you think they're good, but sometimes they're bad. The ones that picked me off 8 o'clock were pretty good. The one that read that Pivotal headline last night, pretty bad algo.
Yeah, they took it down to 11.16 was the actual print. Holy, I don't have a second.
That was an oops.
Yep.
So, okay. So, and then they had the CBLK, which came out of the blue. I don't think this was rumored. Maybe it was because the stock was trading up substantially on it yesterday. So maybe somebody knew something. Anyway, so it gets out and it gets taken out $26. So, or whatever the price is. So they take over two companies, the Pivotal officially announced, which we already knew about because they had already said that they were putting it together, a deal. And now you have this one, obviously, which is announced here. I'm just going to move some orders around. We're rallying here.
Yeah, we are.
We're starting to a bit. VMware gets slammed on the Pivotal. Now they get slammed on the CBLK deal. This feels overdone to me on VMware. Kramer said it yesterday too. I agree with you, Jim. I think this is overdone on VMware now. We already hit it down when they bought Pivotal originally. Now you're hitting it down. This is a smaller deal. It's not a huge premium, the CBLK, and they're going to slam 10 points off the market cap on this. I don't know if it was Kramer. Maybe it was Karen Feinerman that actually said it. Somebody said it on CNBC last night. Whoever said that, I agree with you. I think it's overdone here. No position for me on VMware. I did trade this out last night. I did the VMware Dell's pair off of it. I'm already out of that trade, though, so I can freely talk about it because I don't have any position on right now. VMware is down 9. I'd be more inclined to buy it down here than sell it.
I do own
Dell in my long-term portfolio, though.
Yeah, I don't know. This is a 2-for-1 stock split in VMware here since May. That stock, well,
it's
not
been quite really hit. Every time I announce an acquisition, it gets hit here again. Yeah, it's been hit. Not quite 2-for-1.
No, I know. I just
thought. Still, you're right. It's still good. 35%.
We're trading into 130 handle. That's not good. Your August 15th low was 141.15. I have to go to the monthlies. You guys don't want to hear this. On the monthly chart in January of this year, we hit 129.33. So if you're looking for a really little bit more of a haircut, I'd maybe get a bid out there at 130. I wouldn't care about 129.33, but I don't know if we're going to get hit that far today. VMware, pulling back here. S&P's got a nice green candle going here. We're back above 29.10 or right at 29.10. once again, the key to the upside for me is going to be that mid-range, 21 and a quarter, and then your closing price. We have somehow go green today. That'd be a big victory for the market, at least at this point, 855. But anything can happen, as we mentioned, Jackson Hole, Powell. Lots of
wild cards.
Yeah, I mean, this market, you can do anything. I don't think we're breaking out today, and I did talk about that range earlier in the week in the top of the range. I wish we would have gotten a little better shot at it today, but we'll see. We'll see what happens here. What else?
There's one more M&A deal that Dennis knew more about than you or I, Joel. That is Hasbro is paying $4 billion for Entertainment One. They trade OTC, but HAS would trade, typically trade down on this headline. But Dennis, what is in Entertainment One's portfolio?
Peppa Pig.
Joel and I don't know what
that is. How much are they paying?
$4 billion. $3.3 billion.
I watch a lot of Peppa Pig. I got the 2-year-old that is addicted to Peppa Pig. The 4-year-old's kind of done with Peppa Pig. He's moved on to Paw Patrol. But we've watched so many Peppa
Papa who?
Paw Patrol?
Paw Patrol either.
I'm Wait. Sorry?
You don't know Paw Patrol?
Oh, Troll, not
Paw
Joel.
Paw Patrol.
Oh, Paw Patrol. Okay.
Oh, Spencer don't know it either. These are the new cartoons. These are the ones that are hot right now.
No, sorry. So,
anyways, okay, besides the point, Peppa Pig is the one that's getting acquired. That's their big thing. They're paying a huge price tag for this, though, so I'm not surprised. Actually, I tried to short this on the headline. There was nothing in the book. Hasbro was just empty. I'm trying to offer it down like 112, 111. I was like, I honestly, what crossed my mind is this could fall 10 bucks on this because it's a big acquisition. They're paying a big price. Yes, Peppa Pig is hot right now, but you don't know if it stays hot. I mean, some of these things can be fads. Been hot for a while, though. It's a pretty cool show. It's actually entertaining even for me as a parent that has to watch it because my kids want to watch it. I do like the show. But I'll tell you, they're paying a heavy price. They're like going to have more debt, apparently, to finance this. They're stopping their buybacks to finance this. They're putting a lot of, you know, bets on this. When I read the initial, I was like, man, that's a big price tag to pay. I thought that they would hit the stock. There was no bids or offers, so I think I was one of the first people starting to offer it down. Never got hit on anything, so I never got a position. It's now down $6.50. I honestly thought it could fall 10. I think it could fall further. I would not be buying Hasbro here.
You got to get how you are filling the gap from earnings. Dennis, this is a question just for you. What is Peppa Pig's brother's name?
George.
You got it.
Give me the Peppa Pig trivia. Okay. I got more. I can do more Peppa Pig.
That was the category we should have.
I know. I would have killed Spencer in that one. You have a kid. Go to Google and give me more Peppa Pig questions. I'm good at this. I've watched a lot of Peppa Pig in the last year.
Okay.
The 2-year-old, like, it's my iPad, and Peppa Pig's it up, and I'm, like, trying to sleep, and she's watching Peppa Pig in my bed right beside me at, like, 5 o'clock in the morning, and this is just subliminally going into my head. So okay. I'm actually ready for this category. What else do you have?
I just pulled it up on Google to see.
I'm ready.
I'm sorry.
You can find more questions. I'm ready for Peppa Pig.
Yeah, but
it's what? I love the British accent, too. And you know what? And my boy, which is funny, too. He's obviously Canadian, but he talks like, and he calls things like the British way of calling him. Like in a lineup, he'll say, oh, we got to get to the back of the queue. Cause that's what he's saying on Peppa Pig. So he's saying stuff in the British way. And it's funny. It's so funny. Like he goes and he's talking, people almost think he's British. He even was talking with a little bit of an accent there for a while because he's watching Peppa Pig. Cause they say things in different ways. Like he'll go like for a flashlight. He's like, oh, I'll go get the torch. Because they call flashlights torches. So it's like, I'm going to go get the torch. All I got to think about it for a second. Oh, he means the flashlight.
You need to get your kids on some North American entertainment.
They like that Peppa Pig, man.
Okay, the British pig. Okay. All right. Spencer.
Yeah, I mean, we covered just about everything we wanted
GameStop.
To.
GameStop.
Oh, GameStop, right. We missed this one yesterday. And this is what happens when I filter my movers out by price. I don't see the lower price stocks of which GameStop is. But GameStop moved yesterday. News that Michael Burry, the guy from The Big Short, is long the company. He told Barron's in an interview that he liked their balance sheet and believes that because just the way the industry works with Sony and there's GameStop still can survive. So he's long GME right now.
Good luck with that, well, huh?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Me and Joel have hated it since 20, so I'm going to continue to hate it. I hated it at $3.87, too. Sorry, on the other side of the trade. I'm not on the other side. Paper. I have no position in GameStop, but on paper, I'd be short it.
He owns 3.3% of GameStop.
It can pop. I mean, it popped on this headline. It helps, sure.
Added 30 cents yesterday.
Back that. The video games are all getting downloaded for free now, and you're running a physical game store.
Okay, Lewis.
Sounded about a 20, sounded about a 15, sounded about a 10, sounds about a 5, sounds about a 3. They haven't turned it around. Sorry. Right. I'm out.
Okay.
All right. All right.
Spencer, you want to wrap things up for this?
Any final levels for us, Joel, today?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with, you know, pretty much what I had there. We went down 0.25, and yesterday's low is 0.425. So, you know, right now, this has been a range-bound market. That right there, that's your key area before you sneak into 28.9150. That was the close from last Friday. You also had a low there. On the upside, I think it's important through the market to get through unchanged. That comes in at 29.22. So I like that level too. And that's also mid-range on the session. And I'm just going to be sitting on hands until I get a look at one of those levels. Too much chop in this area. From the YouTube chat, it looks like Easy Mike Cat. Says, enjoy the weekend. He called this our best show ever, and I have to agree.
It was a fun show. It was a fun show today. I like the game show when you do that. I needed some fun today. You know, I started the show getting smacked around by buying all these stocks on that headline and in a bad mood, and I ended the show in a good mood. So I guess you guys did a good job.
Mission accomplished. I want to thank today's guest, Peppa Pig. Thanks to all of you in our chat on YouTube and premarket at bendinger.com. Email us, premarket at bendinger.com, for any questions, comments, or concerns. Catch our podcast or rewatch the show on youtube.com/bendingertv. Please remember, all the information from our show meant for informational purposes only, not for investing or trading advice. I'm in a good mood too now. So everyone have a great rest of your Friday. Have a good weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday morning.